The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you here on this Reformation Sunday. Glad you've come to worship with us. We invite everyone to sign the friendship register. If you're visiting with us, please give us your name and address so we can give you another word of welcome to our church. We're glad to see everyone. This is Reformation Sunday. You'll see that we'll be celebrating that in a number of ways in our worship service, and be talking a little bit more about that later. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin. The insert is about our next gym night meal on November the 6th, one of my favorite menus coming up, so you can sign up for that today. Notice that we need your five-year pledge card for our Community Life Center. We talked about that last week, and you should have received one in the mail. If you did not, there are some in the narthex. You have until the end of November, but please consider what you can give for our new building, our Community Life Center. And what you put on that card is important, because what we're going to do is we're going to take all those pledges, and that's information we'll be giving to the banks as we seek loan information. So it does make a difference what you put there, so please consider what you can give sacrificially. Today is, this afternoon, is Trunk or Treat. I understand that there are some churches who have already canceled their Trunk or Treat activity because of the heavy rain. Well, according to my forecast, the rain is over. The Weather Channel app on my phone, which I call it the Lying Channel instead of the Weather Channel, but it says this afternoon at 5 o'clock it's going to be sunny and almost 80 degrees. So why can't we have Trunk or Treat? So we're planning to have it. I don't think it'll be raining this afternoon. But we can't have it without your help. We need you to come a little bit before 5 and back your car up in the front parking lot and load it up with candy so we can share it with others. And we plan to have the fire truck from the Graham Fire Department and Sparky come as well. So please invite friends and neighbors to come with you, and we'll have a great time this afternoon. Notice that next Sunday our children will be leading us in worship, and you want to come and show your love and support for them. Notice that we will also be providing a Thanksgiving meal for some families in need, families of students at Broadview Middle School that have been identified with a special need. And so there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. You can start signing up for specific items you can bring. You and your family will be enjoying a great Thanksgiving. You want to share that love with others, and this is a way to do that. Notice that next Sunday, now don't forget this, if you forget other things I say, don't forget this. Next Sunday or Saturday night, you need to change your clock. The good news is you get an extra hour of sleep. So you don't have to sleep during church. No. But you do get an extra hour. Make sure you make that change for next Sunday so you're here on time. Look with me at our prayer concern list now. Continue to be in prayer for Becky Johnston. She is at home. They're asking for no visitors at this time so that she can rest, but just continue to pray for Becky and for her whole family. B. Oaks is still at ARMC. She has been there now 2 weeks, so it's been a tough time for B. Continue to pray for her. She's continuing having breathing issues. They are planning to move her to a hospital in Greensboro, possibly on Tuesday, where she could get some more care. But be in prayer for B. Oaks. Darren Alfano, John and Connie's son, has been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. That's something that it just kind of comes on you suddenly and you lose the ability to use your arms and legs. And so he is getting treatment at Duke and will probably move to rehab soon. But this, you can just imagine, I mean, he's a young guy, strong, and all of a sudden not able to do much of anything for himself. So be in prayer for him and for John and Connie and for his recovery. He is making progress, but just pray that that will be a quick recovery. Mildred Price, I'll mention, if you were here for the lunch last Sunday, she fell. We were all very worried about her, and she's still she's with us today, still recovering, though. So be in prayer. It's been a tough week for Mildred, so be in prayer for her and her full recovery. Also, ask your prayers for Deborah Webb. Deborah is going to be having back surgery in Raleigh on Wednesday. So be in prayer for her. You might understand she's feeling anxious about it, so think about on Wednesday in particular, be praying for Deborah, and that surgery will go well. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Then let me invite you, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join in the call to worship. By grace we have been saved through faith. This faith is not from ourselves, but is the gift of God. We are not saved by our works, so that none of us can boast before God. So today we acknowledge that we do not deserve the gift of salvation, and God alone deserves all glory, honor, and praise.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Indeed, God's kingdom is forever. God rules over all. And as we think about who God is and who we are, we are very aware of our own sinfulness, how we've fallen short of God's glory. So let us confess that before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Lord God, eternal and almighty Father, we acknowledge before your holy majesty that we are poor sinners, born in guilt, prone to do evil, unable by our power to always do good. We violate your commandments, but with heartfelt sorrow we repent and turn away from our offenses. Have compassion on us, most gracious God, Father of mercies, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I've been sharing with you different words for sin in the Bible. One of the words is the word translated stray, which actually is a word used for drunken swerving. Today we think about maybe driving, but back then walking, when you're drunk and swerving around. We find that word in Psalm 119:10, where we read, Lord, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Or there's a hymn in which we sing the words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We all have that tendency within us to say we believe and then turn away. So God, please keep me from straying. But know this, even when you do stray, God's mercy is there to forgive in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now as we take up our pennies for hunger offering. As they're coming, why don't you speak to someone close by and let them know you're glad to see them today. people that need food to eat. You know, sometimes all I want is something for me. You're that way sometimes, but sometimes we need to think about other people. That's what Jesus did when he came for us. Let's have a prayer now. You listen as I pray. Dear God, thank you for blessing us in so many ways and help us to open our hearts so that we don't just keep things for ourselves, but share them with others, just like Jesus shared with us. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for being big helpers. Out to Children's Church with Miss Julie.
I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteousness will live by faith.
Seven children, so there was always something going on in my house with that many children. When I was 5 years old, I went off to school, to the local Latin school. And then when I turned 14, I left home and went to a nearby boarding school to learn some things that I couldn't learn at home. And then at age 18, anybody here 18? At age 18, I went off to the University of Erfurt. My father was a hard-working man in a local mine. He didn't have a lot of money. He was not famous. He was just a hard-working man. And he wanted a better life for me. You know what he wanted me to be? He wanted me to be a lawyer. He thought that would mean that I would gain more money, standing in the community than he ever knew. So he wanted me to go off to university. And so I did. And I studied hard. And I took my studies very seriously. And then one time I came home. Any of you that go to college ever come home and go back? Well, I was doing that. I came home. I was on my way back to school. And a thunderstorm came. And the thunder was clapping in the sky, and then a thunderbolt came and hit right where I was, and I cried out to St. Anne. St. Anne was thought of as the mother of the Virgin Mary, and I said, "St. Anne, save me, and I'll be a monk." Guess what happened? I was saved, and I became a monk. I left university. Left my pursuit as a lawyer, went off to join the Augustinian monastery, which was known everywhere around there as being the strictest of all the monasteries. And just like I other parts of Scripture. Do you know what my confessor said to me? Enough already, Martin. You're not that bad person. I'm tired of hearing all this. Could you keep it a little shorter? But you know what I did? I kept on and on because I took it so seriously because I believed in God. I believed in the justice of God, and I knew that I came up short. I believed in the righteousness of God. I knew that the righteousness of God condemned me, that I had no standing before God on my own because I was a sinner. And so I continued to confess. My confessor said, Martin, you need some help. Why don't you go on a trip to Rome? Rome is the city who is the center of our faith. It will help whatever's wrong with you if you go to Rome. So I went to Rome. It was a great trip. While there, I saw people worshiping relics. I saw people buying indulgences. More on that in a minute. And there were these special stairs there. They were supposed to be the stairs that Jesus went up when he went to appear before Pontius Pilate. And I, in all seriousness and meditation, I walked up those stairs on my knees. And I got to the top, and then the thought came to me, is this real? Does it really matter? Does this make me any closer to God? And so I came back and still had my same doubts. And so my confessor said, you need to study the Bible. And there was one verse, I believe you just heard it, one verse that jumped out at me from Paul's letter to the Romans. In chapter 1, it says, for in the gospel is supposed to be good news, right? Not bad news, it's good news. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God, that's the very thing that condemns me. But in the good news, it is revealed a righteousness that is by faith. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, you may hear that and think that's nothing. It was everything to me. It was as if the very gates of paradise were open to me now because I saw that this righteousness of God is by faith, not by my works. I don't have to earn it. I'll never be good enough for it. But it's given, it's a gift in the gospel by faith. And that changed my life. It changed the way I looked at everything. It changed the way I looked at God. Now I knew that God was not a God at all. God's righteousness was not trying to get me to measure up to God's standard. Indeed, there is one who's already done that. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who measures up completely. And he has invited me to come and be a part of him so that I am now connected to Christ, in Christ, by faith. It's not by my righteousness, but by the righteousness of God. This totally changed my life and the way I looked at things. And so, in 1517, I was in Wittenberg at the university, teaching, professor there. And I wanted other people to see what I had seen in the Scripture. Many people of that day were going around buying indulgences. Here. Want to know what one looks like? I've got a copy of one right here. This is what an indulgence looked like in my day. It looked like just a lot of writing on the paper, but if you could read it, what it would say is, if you pay the church a certain amount of money, then you can do anything you want. You can sin, depending on how much you pay. If you pay enough, you can sin for the next year and get by with it. Sounds like a pretty good idea. And if you pay more than that, maybe 2 years. And then to take it a step further, people were buying indulgences for their relatives who had already passed away and they believed were now in purgatory. There was a preacher going around where I lived. His name was Johann. superstitions. And he was going around selling these things. He would tell them, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, your loved one from purgatory springs. Even had a little rhyme there, you know. So that basically, if you paid some money, and if you think about your dear grandmother suffering in purgatory, and just for some money you could save her, wouldn't you want to do that? And that's what people were doing. But I went back to the scripture and read the Bible itself, which most people in my day could not do because it was not common and it wasn't in the language they could understand. But I studied it for myself in the original languages and read it, and I saw nothing about that in there. And so I came to the conclusion, if it's not in Scripture, if you can't back it up with Scripture, then it's just human tradition. And so in 1517, I came up with a list of 95 statements. Now, don't misunderstand. The front door of the church was kind of like the community bulletin board. And all I was saying was, here are 95 statements about what I believe, and I want to debate these. So, come one, come all. I'm ready to debate. If you disagree, come and we'll debate these things. Now, a lot of them had to do with the sale of indulgences, because that was very popular in my day. But that's not what I started with. The very first statement of my 95 statements was that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, has called us to a life of repentance. And that should be, that should characterize our whole life. So that if you are a sinner, and if you repent of your sin, if you turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ in faith, you are forgiven whether you buy an indulgence or not. That was the essence of what I was saying. A lot of people did not agree with me, wanted to debate like that. And then there came another turning point in my life a few years later, in 1521. Charles V was the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. I told you that Germany was divided into various states. Well, the Holy Roman Empire was what included all of them. Charles V was the emperor who ruled over all. He called me to come to Worms, Germany, and called me to the Diet of Worms. Does that sound good? Now, that does not mean he called me so that my diet there would be eating worms. That would have been bad enough. This was actually worse. In that day, a diet was a gathering of government officials, and Worms was the name of the city. So, the Diet of Worms. He told me, he promised me, and he's the emperor now, rules over all, he promised me that I would have safe passage there and back home. Because that was in doubt. You know, it was possible that he'd be calling me to that city just to take my life. But he said, in writing, that I would have safe passage there back home. So I went. I thought, this is my chance to publicly show everyone else what I believe and why I believe so that I can explain why I believe what I do. I had written it already in a number of books and pamphlets. But here's my chance to explain publicly. So I got there. I was called in. The emperor's sitting there, along with the electors, those who were ruling over various parts of Germany. They had there in front of me a stack of my books and pamphlets, all the things that I had written. And instead of a dialogue or a debate, they just asked me one question, point blank. They said, "Do you believe this, or will you recant?" I didn't know what to say. I mean, how could I say, no, I no longer believe all those things, when I really do? I'd be going against my conscience. But on the other hand, you know, if I said boldly, no, I have not changed anything, I still believe everything I've written, you know what's going to happen next? Gethsemane experience, but I don't want to call it that because I don't want to put myself on the same level as Jesus. But it was a night of agony. And this is what I pray. Oh, almighty and everlasting God, how terrible is this world. Behold, it opens its mouth to swallow me up. And I have so little trust in you. How weak is my flesh and how strong is Satan. If it is only in the strength of this world that I must put my trust, all is over. Oh God, help me against all the wisdom of this world, for this is not my work, but yours. I would wish that my days on this earth would flow along peacefully and happy, but this cause is yours, O Lord. So in no human do I place my trust, but only in you, faithful and unchangeable God. Oh God, my God, do you not hear me? Are you dead? No, you cannot die. So act, oh God, stand by my side for the sake of your Son, my well-beloved Jesus Christ, who is my defense, my shield, and my strong power. And though this world should be filled with devils, though my body, which is still the work of your hands, should be slain, be cut in pieces, or reduced to ashes, my soul is yours. Yes, your word gives me the assurance of it. My soul belongs to you. It shall abide forever with you. Amen. So the next morning, I went back in to appear before the emperor and the electors and all the officials. There with a stack of books, they asked me the same question again. And this is my answer. Since then, your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer without horns and without teeth. Unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen. The emperor dismissed me. I didn't know what would happen. Come to find out later that after the emperor dismissed me, the emperor started talking to the other officials, and they came up with a document. The emperor said that I should be treated as a heretic and an outlaw, which meant that eventually I would be put to death. And he asked all the electors to sign it. Not all were there, but many of them there signed it, except for two. And one in particular who sided with me, his name was Frederick the Wise. Well, I was granted safe passage out of there, but then shortly after that, I was kidnapped and taken away. All I knew is some men came up to me and grabbed me and took me away. I didn't know who they were or where I was going. Come to find out, they were men who were friends of Frederick the Wise. I was being kidnapped, but I was being kidnapped by friends who took me to Wartburg Castle, where I hid out for a while, where it was at least safe for a while. And there, rather than just looking out the castle at the sky and enjoying the day, I started working on and sing. Please be seated. Oh, Lord, our praises that we give you this day are still not as great a God as you are. And even the gifts that we present are not as great as what we should give. And yet, Lord, we thank you that you have been so good and kind to us in Jesus Christ our Savior. So continue to shape our hearts and make us more and more into the image of your dear Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.